If we read the Gospels, we often see these accounts where Jesus confronts evil. He casts out demons and battling the forces of Satan. Jesus came to the world in part to set us free from the powers of Satan and to save our souls from corruption. I was thinking a little knowledge may help us to protect ourselves against the attacks of Satan. Demons, we know, are fallen angels. They're profoundly lonely. They seek these human relationships. They want to be in contact with us. They are also sort of opportunists. They look for chances to enter into someone's life. And, you know, we recognize someone who's lonely, who's disconnected from their family and friends. Those who are not protected by the sacraments of the church, these people are easier targets. And demons, they can't read our minds, right? They're not God. They can't read our minds. But they do have pretty good knowledge and pretty good intuition of our actions just because they've watched us so much. So demons cannot resist the power of Christ, right? Christ has won the victory. In no way can they stand up to him. They are completely subject to Christ, which of course they hate. They hate that fact. They can't tolerate Christ's presence, and they have chosen to be totally apart from God, and therefore they can't abide with God. The devil and his followers, you know, in reality, their business is done. They can't win. It's all over for them. If we hold fast to Christ and the victory he has wrought and he has won, the powers of darkness cannot prevail over us. You know, back in 1945, the spring of 1945, the war was kind of coming to an end for them. It was, they were losing the war and they knew it. Hitler knew this. But what did they do? Instead of preserving life, instead of saying, you know, let's surrender, let's try to preserve as many lives as possible, he told the German people to fight to the last man. The junior SS, mostly children, were employed in suicidal tactics to prolong this war and kill more people. But there was no way that the Axis powers could win that war. In much the same way, we see the devil and his agents seeking to drag down more souls into their defeat, to kill and destroy as many souls as possible. Demons attack at three levels, on three different levels. First, on the order of nature. They attack, if they can get us to trash our planet, if they can get us to suicide ourselves, or to abort our children, or distort marriage and family values, if they can do these things, they will. That's the one first attack that they make. Secondly, they attack on the order of redemption. So if they can undo the church by getting her ministers to screw up or, you know, break down, if they can get the army or somebody to burn down the churches or the governments to persecute the church, they will. They'll promote that. Thirdly, they attack on the order of the individual soul. Now, they are always looking for ways, opportunities to cause mischief, right? And so every once in a while, even if we haven't been affected, they're going to throw out that little bait and see if we bite. They're always going to be kind of seeing if there's something out there, you know? So we have to be aware of that. Demons can harass someone. They can cause them to have suicidal thoughts, depression, or by encouraging acts of self-harm, they can do all these things. The reality is demons want to get people into bondage with them. They seek this relationship. They want union with us. And they want us to be apart from God, away from union with God. And they will often sort of patiently work with someone over the long period of time and turn them away from God slowly, slowly, bit by bit. If you want a sort of thought process with this, consider reading C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters for a fictional account of how sort of the mind of a demon might work. If we don't resist the demons at the door of our souls, they will get in and they will cause a lot of mischief. In our current culture, many people have turned their backs on God. They don't believe in God, or maybe they don't make any attempt to be in a relationship with God. These people are really sitting ducks for these demonic attacks. Just because someone doesn't believe in God or doesn't follow God doesn't mean that they are necessarily possessed, though. We have to understand that. Demonic influence, they're at risk for that, but they don't necessarily do that just because they don't go to church or something like that. Likewise, though, just because they don't believe in these things, demons and angels and so forth, that doesn't mean they're protected, right? That's the risk. true possession, you know, you see all these crazy films out there about, you know, demonic possession and blah, 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 where the devil or the demon has full control of someone, or that battle is taking place, that's pretty rare, actually. It doesn't happen too often. Demonic influence and harassment, though, are probably fairly common. They're always, like I said, opportunists looking for trouble. There are many avenues in which they can attack us. And so the church gives guidance on some of these matters. Consider, you know, what an insurance person does. They're an insurance rep. They look at the risks involved, and they try to make judgments, and they try to reduce risks. They try to say, if you do these things, you're less at risk. Just because we are at risk for demonic attack does not equate to the actual fact of demonic influence, though. The longer, though, that we stay in a state of high risk, the more likely something is to happen. Now, the best defense against demonic attacks and forces is a strong relationship with God. Of course, we know that. God is, you know, here to protect us. So going to regular confession, this is important too, because it kind of keeps those handles, you might say. Our sins are kind of like things that they can grab onto and cause us trouble. They can kind of shake us around a little bit. If we have a lot of sins, a lot easier to get a hold of us. Regular mass attendance, daily prayer, these things make it very difficult for demons to have much of a hold on someone. Strong family life is also a good source. Having good friendships, these help defend us. Remember, they're opportunists. So they're looking for someone who's lonely, who's isolated, who's looking for some kind of fulfillment in some way. People normally don't get into problems unless they're looking for something. And a lot of times we do this when we're young, right? When we're young, so that's a time when we can be susceptible. So substance abuse, drugs, mischief, these kind of things, when we're young, we start looking for these things, perhaps to fit in or to try to make sense of our world, or try to escape some challenges that we're facing, or because we don't have strong parental or family ties. Other times people might be caught up in these things is when we're dealing with problems in our lives, experiences of stress at work or with our spouse or something like that. In moments like these, when we seek comfort, when we seek to deal with the problems that we're experiencing, it is in these moments that people can be more susceptible to demonic attack or influence. Now the church warns people, don't open doors that can be easy for demons to come in through. A few things, you know, that might be obvious things to avoid. Ouija boards, tarot cards, fortune tellers, palm reading, New Age practices, Reiki, all these kind of things, these should be avoided, right? Again, any kind of demonic celebration or glorifying of evil, all this stuff can cause problems when we get into it. Now, it's mostly common sense, right? Don't do these things. They're weird. They're crazy. Don't do them. But it's kind of like playing chicken, you know? Just because you've done it, you know, most of the time people do these things sort of out of innocence, or maybe they kind of go along with something that somebody else is doing, and probably most of the time nothing happens, right? But again, it's like playing chicken. You can get hurt the first time you do it, or maybe you can do it a bunch of times and it doesn't affect you until later. But it's foolish. It's foolish to do this. Why would you do that? That doesn't make any sense. Don't do it. I speak about spiritual warfare in order to inform us, not to scare us, right? We stand in a place of victory. We don't have to fear the powers of evil. We're not, you know, sometimes we get to a point sometimes where people start to see demons behind every problem in their lives, right? It's the devil. It's not me. It's the devil. You know? No, calm down, you know. Maybe, but probably not. It's very possible to over-spiritualize our problems. Instead of seeing the natural causes that sometimes people have to explain things, whether it's mental illness, psychological issues, or just true health challenges, realities, sometimes people will see the devil behind everything, every corner, and instead of dealing with their problems, using whether it's modern medicine or counseling or whatever, instead of addressing these real health issues, they will live in this fantasy world. It's the devil, so I just need to pray more. Or my child has a demon. They need to be exercised. Maybe your child's going through puberty. Who knows, you know? Crazy things happen. They use these excuses so that they don't need to address the problem in a real way. It is possible for someone that might need prayers and deliverance. Yes, that does happen. They might need spiritual help. But if they have psychological problems, if they have mental illness problems, and these are present, they will continue to be present even after they've received spiritual care. God gives the church authority, right? We saw that today. The people were astounded because Jesus spoke with authority, not as the scribes, with one having authority. And he gives this authority to the church. And he speaks to his people in a mediated way. Mediation has always been part of how God speaks to his people. It's all over. When you read the Old Testament, the New Testament, it's everywhere. Priests and prophets, they do have a role of speaking for God, and they share in this authority of God. Inasmuch as they speak for God's truths and not their own, right? Moses today reminds his listeners about the role of prophets. He says, "Whoever will not listen to my words, which he, that's the prophet, speaks in my name, I myself will make him answer for it. But if a prophet presumes to speak in my name, an oracle that I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die." Right? So we're both responsible. We're both responsible both to listen to the voice of God through his prophets, through his priests, through his ministers, and also for the priests and the prophets not to start using this as their own sort of way of getting what they want. This is a warning that God gives to us and to all of us to be aware. Now, sometimes we will try to, people try to get influence, you know, by saying, you know, "I have a direct connection to God, you know. God told me to tell you X, Y, Z, you know." Oh, really? Okay. Oh. Of course, it is possible, right? God does sometimes communicate a message through an individual in an unusual way. Apparitions do happen. But the church is always careful to discern and seek to better understand what's going on in the situation before she says, "Oh yeah, let's do that, you know. That this person says this, we should do it." You know, we always are very careful before we act on that. We often look for signs. We ask the person, you know, what really happened? Who said this? And so forth. If you know the story of Bernadette, how many times did she have to say her story before they finally said, "Oh, okay, we believe it"? Yeah. So it takes a while sometimes, and that's all right. That's the caution of the church. More often than not, people are trying to manipulate others. Whether they are intentionally doing this, deceiving others, or they just really are convinced that this is happening. Sometimes someone truly is convinced that God is speaking through them or to them, a message for others. So, you know, just one thing, if you get this kind of situation, does their message coincide with the church's teaching? If not, that's a big red flag. Probably not from God. For every approved apparition, there are many more false ones. So sometimes God does speak to an individual, but the message for that person might be just a private message, right? So it's not always for the whole church. Christ gave his authority to the church to protect her from the devil, and God uses mediation to protect us from being led astray by others. So I encourage us to shore up any areas of our life, any areas of our life that may need to be kind of shored up from spiritual attack, to call upon the name of Jesus if we feel like we're under attack, to bring into confession any events from the past or actions or things that we've done that maybe have opened doors to demonic activity. Bring those to confession. Bring those to the Lord. We need not stand in fear, because we stand in the victory of Christ that he has won for us. So let's not be afraid. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.